highest goal and privilege of the believer is to know God. God cannot be taught, but God can be caught. He said, you will find me when you are serious about it. And when you want me more than any other thing, there has to be a hunger, an insatiable hunger. Because the more you know, the more you know you don't know. So you just have to keep hungering and testing and panting after him. I think it was 2019, I was here last. Wow, time flies. Wow. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. I don't have much time. Amen. One statement encapsulates all I came to do. That we will know him. When I asked God for a word, what he said is that we may know him. Now the interesting thing is God cannot be taught. But God can be caught. The knowledge of God is not teachable, unfortunately. But I can inspire you to hunger to know him. So I'm going to trust God to do that this morning. Wherever time permits me, I'll stop. Praise the Lord. Daniel 11 verse 32. Father, anoint my lips of clay. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Enable me to speak your counsel to deliver as it ought to be delivered. I ask for hearts that will be open to receive your word. Stir up our understanding to hear as we ought to hear. This morning, let us not hear just with our ears, but let our spirit hear what you are saying. The Bible says the things which we preach, they are not intellectually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. Open our spirits. Help me to communicate spirit to spirit. For the things which you want us to know cannot be spoken by mere words. Thank you, precious Father. At the end of today, you will take all the glory. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'll be using the New King James Version. And periodically touch some other translations for clarity. Praise the Lord. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out not just exploits, great exploits. I believe this church is for exploits. Not just exploits, but great exploits. No, exploits are levels. There are exploits you need to sing about, you need to talk about, for people to know they were done. There are exploits that speak for themselves. For example, somebody could be healed of maybe, somebody could get a healing. Everybody will clap. Nobody might hear it. But let an amputee's legs grow. And he was not prayed for. He just sat in church, maybe during worship or during the sermon, and the legs start popping out, start growing from the knee down. Come on, you don't need to publicize it. The whole world will hear it. I prophesy that those kind of exploits, unbelievable, unimaginable exploits, will be the testimony of this church. In the name of Jesus. So if that's your desire, if that's your position, Then, what God is saying in the realm of the spirit, and should I see a banner in the realm of the spirit saying wanted, a new generation of believers, a new breed of Christians, whose qualification is not that they are just men of power, men of the word, men of financial greatness, but the people who know their God. While I was praying, the Holy Spirit said to me, I think it's about a week ago, said it is time for the church to know his God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Think of it. It will be strange to worship a God you don't know. But unfortunately, that's what's happening. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria, he said, you worship what you don't know, but we worship what we know. He said, for salvation is of the Jews. That is to say, the end goal of salvation is to know God. Is to know God. Hello? Don't mind, I'm talking gently. I don't want my mannerisms to distract you. The end goal of salvation is to know God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And to know him personally. In John 17, verse 1 to 3, John 17, 1 to 3, the Bible says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given to him. For a long time, we have preached and taught that eternal life is going to heaven. Some say it's the quality of life you lead here on earth. But you see, when somebody says this is it, that means it can't be anything else. If I said, this is the church, I'm saying to you, the church you are looking for is here. You can't find it somewhere else. If I say, this is the car, that's the ultimate. If you are chasing something else, it's not it. And Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. And know your only Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And he's not talking about knowing God in heaven. Here on it. What we lacked that Jesus came to restore was access to God. Before that time, man could only approach God by means of a proxy. But he came and gave us direct access. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. So you've not entered into life if you don't know him. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Glory to God. So the highest goal and privilege of the believer is to know God. Is to know him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now hear me. One of the tragedies of this Christian walk is the possibility of supposedly walking with God for years and not knowing who you work with. For actively, you know, the possibility of actively following this God, but not know him. Hello? In Matthew 16, I think from verse 13 to 17, Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Come on, these guys had been with Jesus. This was close to the end of Jesus' ministry. They ate with him. They slept with him. They went everywhere with him. He said, "Some say you are the Christ. Some say you are John the Baptist, come again from the dead. Some say you are Elijah. Some even say you are Jeremiah because you wept over Jerusalem." You know, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. "Some say you are some other prophet." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" They had been with him, but they did not know him. They had done miracles with him, but they did not know him. There were two disciples with him on the road to Emmaus. They were talking about him. He drew near to them. Continued discussing with him, but they still did not know him. The Bible says their eyes were withheld. I pray that the eyes that see and know him will be open to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Because I've discovered there are eyes you need to be able to see him. So it's possible to be with him for such a long while and still not know him. It's possible to have a very large ministry, impactful ministry, and still not know him. When you hear the way some big boys, let me use that word, in the business of the gospel, when you hear the way they talk, you know they don't know him. Unfortunately, that's one of the tragedies. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why is it possible to walk with him and still not know him? The knowledge of God is not academic. You know, I said it can't be taught. It's not theoretical. It is revelatory and experiential. He has to be revealed to be known. And you have to have an experience of him to grow in the knowledge of him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He has to be revealed. And you know, there's something interesting about God. He beats me. He wants to be known, but he hides. He's an expert at hiding. Yet he wants to be known. Job say, "I go to the north, I can't find you. I go to the east, I can't find you." He said, "I'm at the left, I can't find you." He said, "Not knowing you are hiding at the right hand where you walk." He wants to be known, yet he conceals himself. Why? He's looking for that person that has a hunger. God will not show up to you just because you say, "I want to know you." The moment you say, "I want to know you," you say, "Okay, let's see how much. Let's find out how hungry you are." So you take a step forward, he takes them back. He said, "You will come and pray to me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart." You know how Message puts it? I saw it the other day. It blew my mind. Exactly. He said, "You will find me when you are serious about it. And when you want me more than any other thing." So you don't find God when you are asking to find him with other requests. You don't find God when you are asking to find him because you want a breakthrough. You don't find God when you are asking to find him because you want a spouse. He said, "When all you want is me and you want nothing else more than you want me," he said, "I begin to show myself." There has to be a hunger, an insatiable hunger. Because the more you know, the more you know you don't know. So you just have to keep hungering and thirsting and panting after him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, the Bible says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be. He said, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So two things I want to say from there quickly. Number one, you cannot enter your full potential as a believer, as a child of God, without the knowledge of God. The Bible says, now we are children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That means there is something you are created to become. That even though you are mounting, I'm born again, I'm a child of God. He said, you are not yet there. There are levels you are supposed to enter in your walk with God. But he says, you are not yet there. It does not change the fact that you are a child of God. You see, you can be oppressed, suppressed, depressed, harassed, and speaking in tongues, and still be a child of God. Like I normally say, you report yourself to God. I said, there are some tongues you report yourself to God. That God, I'm messing your name. I'm supposed to be your representative, but just look at what I'm doing. You know, when you speak in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. Glory to God. Yes. Amen. So you might just be reporting yourself. You are scared in the dark when you are supposed to be as bold as a lion, and you are shaking in one corner and you are speaking in tongues. You're actually reporting yourself to God. It says, now we are children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That's your potential. That's what you are supposed to be. That's where you are supposed to go. I like what Bishop Oyedepo says. He says, every child of God has a high calling, not a low calling. There are no superstars and those following the superstars. It's not a Moses generation, it's a Joshua generation. Our job is to point you in the right direction, not to be the object of your adoration. Our life should stir you to something bigger, something better, something greater. Now he says, you can't be what you are supposed to be until you can see him as he is. And it takes revelation to see him as he is. So revelation gives you the eyes to see God as he wants to be seen. Hallelujah. Are we communicating? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. The experience of knowing God is the result of an intimate walk with him. So you can't have an experience that leads to an increased knowledge of God without intimacy. Glory to God. Glory to God. That means there are dimensions of the knowledge of God that we might never walk into or walk in until we are intimate. Let me use the words I was speaking when we were talking yesterday. I said, until you are tight with God. See, until God becomes your body. Glory to God. Glory to God. Until you have entered into depths of relationship with him. Do you know God wants you to know him as you are known? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe there are certain, what's the word now? Certain dimensions of our walk with God, certain experiences of knowing God that we have stopped tapping into. Praise the Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit will help me explain that. Glory to God. Certain levels of knowing God that we need to start exploring, that this generation God is looking for. You know, the generation has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with demographics. Are we together? Let me use this illustration. The Bible says Enoch. Not Pastor Enoch. The first Pastor Enoch. Amen. But this Enoch will do so. It says Enoch walked with God. If you read translations like the Amplified, they say he walked in habitual fellowship with God. Enoch walked in such a depth of relationship and fellowship with God that it was not only unprecedented in his time, but it was unparalleled. You know what singled Enoch out in his days? Was his walk with God. Do you know what singled Moses out? Come on. Was not his miracles, was his walk with God. The Bible says there has not arisen a prophet like Moses who knew God face to face. Yeah, I have taught it that one of the reasons you had more miracles in the Old Testament than the New. Now that would be surprising to some of us, because what a miracle is what? A suspension of natural order by the supernatural. The sea was parted. Fire fell. Manna fell from heaven. Those are miracles. Healing is not a miracle. They are healing miracles. Jesus walking on water was a miracle. Now, the reason there were more miracles in the Old Testament was because God was dealing with spiritually dead people who needed to see to believe. They did not have the spirit consciousness to relate to God. So everything God had to do had to be with the seeing of the eyes and the hearing of the ears. But this is where I'm going to. Even at that, there were many who never saw God. Many of them related to God by faith, like we do. But Moses singled out himself. Joshua, who followed God, Moses, into the presence of God, never saw God face to face. The 70 elders who ate in the presence of God and saw the Shekinah glory of God, the Bible says they saw the feet of God. And they were not consumed. They didn't see God face to face. Moses singled out himself by his knowledge of God. Paul standing out was not basically, he didn't do more miracles than Peter. His shadow never raised anyone from the dead or never healed anybody. Peter was more anointed. Peter carried a presence. Receive it. Peter walked on the streets. He didn't know. He did not consciously heal. The Bible says they laid sick people. People with all kinds of malady. They laid them so that peradventure his shadow. He carried an atmosphere. You see, the atmosphere we try to walk up in a service, Peter carried it by himself. So the guy is going to the shopping mall. He's healing people on the way. But you see, we talk about Paul so much. Why? He was caught up to the dead heavens. He said, I became so confused. I was not sure whether I was in the body or out of the body. He said, I was caught up to the third heavens and I heard such things, unspeakable things, which are unlawful to utter among men. And you are wondering why God took Enoch. The Bible says he was not, for God took him. You know what Amplify said? He was not found among men. Now get this. I have a little time to round up. Amen. He was not found among men. That is to say, if those in his days knew where to look for him, they would have found him. Because he didn't die. If those in his days knew how to walk the way he walked, they would have gotten to where he was. He was not found among men means he could be found somewhere else. Now, can I round up like this? We'll talk more in the next service. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I want to ask you a question. How did Enoch go? He was not redeemed. And his flesh cannot enter heaven. So the question is, at what point did he put on a glorious body? I think this is what happened. You know, when you see couples who've been married for years, you can't tell them apart. The husband begins to look like the wife. The wife begins to look like the husband. They look like brothers and sisters. The Bible says, when he's revealed, we shall be like him. So Enoch was so strong with God's presence that I think slowly he just began to metamorphose. He began to change. He began to put on a glorious body. He became more spirit than man. It was God who said, my spirit shall no longer abide with man, because he has become all flesh, has become mortal. Enoch became more spirit than man, that God had no choice and said, you can't live among these men. You can't be among these men. You just have to go with me. Because at some point, he would have been confused. I don't know about you. That's what I want to be written on my paper. Everybody is making noise about the man at the synagogue who was a philanthropist. Great. I don't want anybody to know me as a philanthropist. I want it to be written, here lies a man that knew his God. That is if I die. You.
Because they will not see anybody.
Jesus said, he said, there are some standing. Even among me. In his days, he said, they will not taste death. When did John the beloved die? Where did he die? Where was he buried? Because I knew they tried severally to kill him. He was unkillable. You put a man in a cauldron of oil. You fry it. You fry it. The man refused to be cooked. After trying everything, he said, please go to the island of Patmos. Where is his grave? Did he die? Jesus says, son. That means, take it or leave it. Jesus won't utter empty words. There were people, or there are people in his days, who were in his days, who are still alive. They are waiting for the rapture. He said they will see his coming. I intend to see it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That I may know him. I may know him. There is a knowledge and experience of God that the church needs. And I don't know if you're hungry for it. Come on, let's go to him in prayer. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. Help me to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. Make that my number one desire. As a mortal man, I am cheaply distracted. Lord, it's my desire to know you. I want to hear you pray. God is waiting to reveal himself. I want to know you.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.